Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 202 with Noel McCall.
And folks getting out of the military will oftentimes say, I don't know what I want to do, or I'll do anything, which is totally legitimate because they have had to do just about anything. I mean, they've been thrown assignments and said, oh, go figure it out, you know, build the plane while you're flying it, as you guys say. So I get it. And not knowing what you want to do is also valid because the job titles are so nebulous in some cases out here in the civilian market. But that was what was holding them back. And that was what was keeping me as a recruiter with millions of contacts from being able to say, okay, well, here's how I can help. Here's who I can introduce you to. So in the long run, I realized that it was the process that they didn't understand yet, and that's where I wanted to be of value.
Well, in this interview, I talk with Noel about her organization, Patriot's Path, which is an exceptional and free resource to help military veterans in their transition to a fulfilling civilian career. In addition to discussing more info about Patriot's Path, we delve into a whole host of helpful topics that I think will really be of assistance to listeners. Some of those are how to craft your personal pitch, both the 10-second version as well as a 2-minute version. We talk about how the typical person needs to hear your message over 7 times to be able to remember you, and the importance of crafting an aligned and memorable message. We talk about how to market yourself as well as how to get comfortable marketing yourself. We talk about things that veterans are good at that they often forget to bring up in an interview, and so much more. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Noel about Patriot's Path. Joining me today in Charlotte, North Carolina is Noel McCall. Noel, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you, Justin. Good to be with you.
So I wanted to give listeners a brief background on Noel. She's the executive director of Patriot's Path, which is a nonprofit that works with transitioning service members, including those serving in the Guard and Reserves, to help define their career goals, map out a job search strategy, identify opportunities, create their personal marketing approach, and connect them with the community of their peers, mentors, and coaches for continued networking and support. She successfully started a graphic arts and printing company, which she sold after running for 15 years. She has worked in higher education as the director of placement before contributing as a partner and consultant with an international executive search and leadership development firm headquarters in Charlotte. She supported Northeastern University, Charlotte's expansion as vice president, corporate and clinical partnerships, as well as their regional military liaison. So, Noel, maybe to start off, if someone listening is on active duty, how would you explain to them what Patriot's Path is?
Well, I think it's easier to start by saying what Patriot's Path isn't. A lot of folks look to resources that assist veterans who are in transition and say, gosh, you're going to help me find that job. You're going to place me in a job. Our metrics for success are more about confidence and connectivity and next steps and really mapping out a job search strategy. So in a nutshell, we're really a nonprofit that offers about a 20-hour course that focuses on career coaching and job search training. And the program is created specifically to support those unique needs of military personnel in transition. And we also work with military spouses. And we will work with veterans who have been out for several years but just find themselves in career transition again. So the course itself is, I think, really valuable, but it is a process. We are there to walk alongside veterans during this process and to explain the ins and outs of how civilian hiring goes and how networking really works, as opposed to saying, well, you need to network and you need to get a resume. We actually go in there and say, this is why and this is how, and give some real strategic pointers and sometimes even some scripts. So that's what we do, and we do that here in Charlotte. We do that in Raleigh, North Carolina, at Fort Bragg, and down in South Carolina. So expanding soon, but that's a little bit about who we are and what we do.
I love, what I hear from that is empowerment. I love how you're empowering veterans, and when you explained it like that, I realized, you know, there are a lot of organizations where their goal is to help veterans find a job, and in some ways, I mean, that's great, and I think that works for a lot of people, but in some ways that's almost disempowering versus giving people knowledge and confidence and giving them tools and letting them use those to go find what they want. And I love that as well, because I just think that everyone, every veteran is so different in terms of what they bring to the table, their aspirations, their life situation, their family situation. We all have very unique needs and desires. And so I love that it sounds like you're training veterans, you're giving them all of this knowledge that they can then take out and apply in whatever direction they want to go.
Absolutely. It makes it easy for us then to collaborate too with other organizations that do support that immediate, you know, let's get you connected into a job opportunity. And the nice thing for us is that we can say, well, let's help you get ready for that interaction. Mm. Let's help prepare you for this event that's getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. So you see it from the civilian side. And I often say some of the TAP programs are a great jumping off point. They are fantastic to get folks just sort of thinking about that next step. But then we can come in and say, well, TAP got you ready to leave the military. We're here to help you enter the civilian market. It's just a different approach. And all of our instructors are either executive search consultants or career coaches. So we've sat on the other side of the hiring desk. And the advice just takes on a different flavor.
I love that distinction, too. I never thought of it in that way, that TAPS is getting you ready to leave the military, and then you guys are helping someone get ready to enter the civilian workforce. That's a great nuanced distinction. And I also like it because sometimes my concern with organizations where their metric is job placement, that can lead to a perverse incentive where if I'm either making money off of a placement or if that's a metric that I'm reporting to a board or external parties, then it's about slotting someone in versus it sounds like you don't really have a dog in the fight. It doesn't really matter to you what specific area someone ends up in, and that makes you more of a trusted advisor where you're looking out to just help them go whatever direction they want, but you don't have any vested interest in the outcome, which I imagine gives a lot more freedom and a lot more autonomy to the person you're working with.
It does. That's really our goal. And I think that we have a volunteer component of what we do, and it's really to get folks connected to volunteers in their communities who work in corporate settings who are in talent acquisition. And those folks give them also a good touch point. So our efforts are really to get them connected. And there are a lot of great organizations out there that I admire so much, like American Corporate Partners and others that are doing some of that mentor piece as well, which is such a huge component of the transition. But, you know, knowing what to say when you get into that moment is helpful. So our volunteers are great, but you bring up a really good point. As a nonprofit, we have donors look at us and say, well, what are your metrics? What does success look like to you? And I think that folks that have been through the course that have come out the other side and said, wow, now I feel very different than I felt going in. They're the ones that say, gosh, it's not about who finds a job 30 days after the class. Because some folks take it while they're still serving and they're, you know, 6 months out from retirement. But the donors want to know how many found a job. And I'm like, well, you know, success can also be after they go through our course and they take the personality and interest assessment that we utilize. You know, maybe they discover that they're really interested in doing something completely different than what they thought their path was going to be. So maybe success means they go back to school and they enroll, Northeastern University or do the O2O program with Syracuse. You know, maybe they go back to school and study something that they're really passionate about. That's success. We've got folks that have, you know, bought franchises or started their own businesses. That to me is success. The level of confidence and the level of clarity that people leave, our program and the experience with, that's my measure of success as the executive director. We've been doing this 5 years, and it's becoming easier and easier to explain those metrics to our donors. But in the beginning, it was all about job placement. So we've changed our tack in terms of how we explain it. But I think that it's important for transitioning veterans to hear that as well, so the pressure is off of them. In terms of saying, I'm going to go to this course, I'm going to experience this group, and I'm going to come out with a job. And it's more about just feeling more confident and understanding the process.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned American Corporate Partners as well. I'll put a link in the show notes for listeners. In episode 151, I interviewed Timothy Cochrane from ACP. It's a great organization, but I respect how you've created an environment where you can help veterans and you can also work with other organizations that are helping veterans. It seems like a great relationship you've set up. And one of the things I wanted to ask about is you mentioned that you've been at this for 5 years. Could you share more about how Patriot's Path came about and where this all came from?
Well, it's sort of an interesting story. Years and years ago, as you mentioned in my bio, I had helped found a for-profit industry. I was in printing and graphic design, started a company, ran it for about 15 years, and then sold it. And, so I had done the for-profit thing, and then I'd gotten back into this recruiting world, and I was actually working as an executive search consultant. So my job was to recruit CEOs, CFOs, senior leadership across industries. So it might be a hospital president, it might be a convenience store, chief information officer, it might be an executive director of a nonprofit. But this was, the scope was across the country and in Canada. That was really my territory. But as I was doing that work, I was seeing from start to finish really how hiring managers in different organizations made their hiring decisions, what that process really looked like. So I started getting calls from folks who had buddies getting out of the military and say, hey, can you take a look at his resume? He's not getting any traction. And so I, of course, as all of us do that have worn the recruiting hat, will say, sure, absolutely, let me take a look at the resume. But in the conversation with those individuals that were transitioning out of the military, I realized that it wasn't always just the resume. I would say, what is it you want to do? Help me connect some dots and give you some context and give you some mentors and coaches and people that you can talk to in the industry. And folks getting out of the military will oftentimes say, I don't know what I want to do, or I'll do anything, which is totally legitimate because they have had to do just about anything. I mean, they've been thrown assignments and said, oh, go figure it out, build the plane while you're flying it, as you guys say. So I get it. And not knowing what you want to do is also valid because the job titles are so nebulous in some cases out here in the civilian market. But that was what was holding them back. And that was what was keeping me as a recruiter with millions of contacts from being able to say, okay, well, here's how I can help. Here's who I can introduce you to. So in the long run, I realized that it was the process that they didn't understand yet, and that's where I wanted to be of value. So interestingly, I went out into the community and I went to different veteran service organizations and said, hey, how can I do this? I want to volunteer in this capacity. I want to, help train folks in this way. And everybody said, we don't offer that. We don't do that. But gosh, that sounds really great. So in a backwards kind of way, I was doing market research. So even though I had started, life doing a for-profit company, I was silly enough to think, well, it's a nonprofit. How hard can it be? And it was completely different, of course, but started the nonprofit and with the help of another executive helped sort of write that curriculum and get it structured. And it just took off from there. So left my job as an executive search consultant and luckily kept a lot of those wonderful HR contacts and executive contacts because that's really what gave us our edge when we started the nonprofit. And that's what's really bolstered us as we've gone along. So those conversations continue today, but now I have the power to sit down and say, here's the roadmap. And that's it's been a great journey.
I love that. I think two things that stand out to me. First of all, you hit on one of my biggest pet peeves, which is that common phrase I hear from veterans of, I can do anything. I'm a jack of all trades. I'm a Swiss Army knife, which I understand. I appreciate your empathy on that as well, where like I understand where that comes from. And it makes it so difficult to help someone because you can't just easily, like you said, you have a million contacts. It's difficult to place them when it's so vague versus when someone comes with a lot of specificity, it's a lot easier to be actionable and actually make connections. So I love that you touched on that. But I also just wanted to point out for listeners who are aspiring to entrepreneurship, I think your story is so incredible and so representative of someone who is creative and motivated and identifies a problem and searches for a solution and can't find that solution and sees that other people have that problem and then creates the solution to that problem. And that seems like the essence of so much of entrepreneurship. So it was exciting to hear your journey on that, because I think that's representative of what I know a lot of veterans aspire to start their own company. It seems like as you built this nonprofit, it was an incredible journey like that. And I love too that you point out that you it sounds like you went into it assuming, well, it's a nonprofit, it should be easy, and it's never easy to do anything. It's everything is always, I feel like, with especially with starting something, it's always 10 times harder and takes 10 times longer than you expect. And I think that's also important for listeners to realize, is just there are so many unforeseen speed bumps and roadblocks, and to know that it's not an easy path. But you are proof that over the last 5 years, it sounds like this has been an incredible journey that has not been easy, but has been extremely rewarding on a personal level.
It has been. And when you're thinking of starting your own business, whether it be a for-profit or nonprofit, that market research is so critical. There are so many duplicative services out there, especially in the veteran space, that you start finding that, oh gosh, once you're in it, you have three competitors in the market. That's the sort of information you need to glean up front. You really need to study that. You need to make sure you have enough money in the bank, clearly, to last you for a couple of years while you're getting this thing off the ground. And you have to be prepared to shift gears pretty quickly. And once you realize there's someone else out there doing the same thing, is it worth collaborating and joining forces, or is the ego in the way where you're like, no, mine's different. It's a better mousetrap. So there are lots of things that I know, other folks are better to speak to this than I, but that's been my experience, is watching people who want to start their own business and saying, I support you in this. Let me give you my experience. But here are some pitfalls. Here are some things you need to look at up front. And ultimately, when you do that market research and you understand, you also know who your team players are out there. Mm. Like I said, I talked to other veteran service organizations and other nonprofits, and they were like, wow, that sounds great. We don't do it, but if you ever do, let us know. And boom, that's exactly who we went back to. And those are the folks that become your best allies, because you brought them along with you and they don't feel competitive. So the collaboration piece is so important. I think it gets overlooked by, aspiring entrepreneurs.
That's great. And I'm wondering, having worked with so many different people over the last 5 years, are there any common mistakes that you see veterans make as they approach their career transition? Either mistakes that they make or misconceptions they have about what the process will be like?
Well, I think if I had to boil it down to one or two, I would say it's networking and branding. And we've touched on some of those already, but underestimating the value and understanding the different types of networking. Networking isn't just, walking into a job fair and handing out, your resume. It's more about just being prepared to tell your story quickly and concisely and with confidence and with excitement in your voice at every opportunity. You could be at a ball game and somebody can say, hey, man, what do you do? That's a chance to say, actually, after spending this much time in the military and really excelling at these things, I'm finishing up my PMP and love to find an opportunity sometime in the next 3 or 4 months when I transition to do that in healthcare, for example, or maybe do that in energy. It's 10 seconds, it's one sentence, but it's how you network and it's how you confidently tell your story, and you can't wing it. You have to prepare that. And that's part of what we do in our course, of course. But the other thing is branding. Making sure that folks understand what their brand is and what they bring to the table. How are people remembering them after they meet them? Are they remembering this veteran as someone who, just kind of was talking in acronyms and had a really strong attitude and was loud and boisterous? Or are they going to remember that person as someone who said, well, tell me more about what you do, and listened really well? What are the different types of experiences people are having around them? So common mistakes are just sort of, really underestimating the value of the networking and branding. And branding takes on a lot of different forms. So just being able to drill down, you don't have to know exactly what you want to do, because heaven knows that's tough. But you got to have a few pointers, just something to hang your hat on. Give those recruiters something. If you want them to connect some dots for you, you got to give them some dots to connect. So I think those are some of the mistakes that I see people making, is just assuming they can apply online too, and those applications go into the black hole and they don't hear anything back, but they think, if I apply for 100 jobs, I'm sure to get at least 10 interviews, right? And it doesn't work that way. So that networking piece becomes really critical. And I tell folks, you know, whatever you do, don't go home at night and just sit and click away on Career Builder and, you know, and on, I mean, LinkedIn's great. Their job search function is great. But if all you're doing is applying online, you're missing out. You're really missing out. And those are some of the mistakes I see them make.
That's great. I love, you know, what I would call the elevator pitch. I love how you said that, of just the short, succinct, memorable way of explaining who you are and what you're looking to do. And I love that you point out that it's not just about networking events. The number of people that I've interviewed that got their job because they were at a baseball game, they were at a dinner party, they were at a barbecue, and they were talking to someone, and they had a short way to explain what they were doing and what they were looking for, and they were in the habit of always being open to talk about it. That led to a career opportunity. So I love that sense of how you're helping people craft that story. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask about. I love on your website, you talk about, I believe you call it like a personal marketing approach, or you'd call it just now branding. And I'm wondering, what is the process you take people through to help them figure out their personal marketing approach?
You know, we often talk about elevator pitches, right? And I tell my classes there are three different types of quote-unquote elevator pitches. The standard one is that 30-second, you know, where you stand up and say, hey, my name is, and this is what I do, and this is what I'm looking for, and, you know, my name is, and I'd love to talk to these folks here today. There are two others. Another is the two-minute version. It can vary, of course, but that's that first time you have to answer the question in an interview that starts off, hey, so tell me about yourself. You know, that first question in any interview that just throws you and you're like, where do I start? Where do I end? How long do I talk? You know, if you haven't prepared for it, that can be dangerous too. But the one that we really start with that I think helps with the branding and the personal, you know, the marketing question you asked is a 10-second version. 10 seconds, one sentence. And the way we do that in class is we start by saying, you know, what are the three jobs you have loved the most? Not the ones that had the, you know, highest rank or the ones that paid the most or whatever, just the ones that you've loved the most and why have you loved them. And if you can list those out under your, you know, what your past has been like and what have your great accomplishments been that have really just made you excited, put just three jobs, and then look at presently, what are you doing right now to move the needle forward? What are you doing to stay busy and to help yourself? Because people always want to help you if they see you helping yourself. So talk about what you're doing to move forward. And then lastly, think about where you want to be in the future. And if you can't say, I want to be, you know, project manager in healthcare, then think of something that, you know, give me a job title, give me an industry, large company, global company, small company. What is it you want to contribute? Think about your future. And then when you're branding yourself and marketing yourself, if you can come up with 10 seconds, one sentence that says, hey, you know, right now I'm finishing up my degree in healthcare administration, but I spent a lot of time doing logistics in the military, finishing up a great career. And I really had some great successes working overseas with just-in-time supply chain. So I'd like to really leverage that experience and my healthcare administration to working in a logistics area within healthcare, within maybe one of the hospitals here in Charlotte. 10 seconds, one sentence, run-on sentence, I'll give you that. But it's a way to quickly and concisely and confidently market yourself and get the conversation going. So that's the sort of advice I give folks when I talk about the marketing. Stay visible, stay out there, keep shaking hands, and stay consistent with your brand. You know, what you say on your resume has to match LinkedIn and has to match how you show up, what you wear to an event, you know, what your voicemail sounds like, what your 30-second pitch is. All of that has to be consistent because then people start remembering you. And when they remember you, you're top of mind, and then they call back and say, hey, you know, I thought about you the other day. I was talking to somebody who's looking to fill a position, and next thing, one thing leads to another.
I love that. I love, you know, that what I thought of when you were explaining that, and I love the 10-second and the 2-minute version. My company right now, we're in the process of raising our next round of financing, and so we're meeting with investors constantly, and we have a pitch deck. And the pitch deck is so sparse on words, and it's amazing to me the not just hours, but the weeks that we spend refining the message of what we've accomplished, who we are, where we're going, and how much work it takes to be concise. And so when I hear you talk about that 10-second version, I love that you kind of outline some steps that listeners could take to start to define that. But I know how much work that takes to really boil something down to that 10-second snippet and then giving it some thought to have the 2-minute version. And I also appreciate how you point out the importance of alignment of I love you pointed out the voicemail and LinkedIn and, you know, just making sure that everything's in the same pointing in the same direction. And I've seen how important it is for that repetition to be able to stick into people's minds. And with advertising, they talk about how someone has to see something. It's like something absurd, like 60 times before they take action. And I can imagine with hiring, it's no different, of like really making sure that every interaction speaks the same thing and indicates the same direction so that people can remember that and it actually sticks with them. So I love all of these insights that you have, because I think that just leads to a much more prepared veteran and much more prepared approach to all of these things.
Absolutely. I think we often say in class, it takes folks hearing something 7 times before they remember it.
Mm.
So your goal is to pop up on their radar 7 times, whether that's connecting to them on LinkedIn, whether that's posting something on LinkedIn that they will, you know, then see, you know, hey, I found this great article, whether you send them a thank you note after the interview, the face-to-face interview, when you follow up later and say, hey, here's my list of references, you know, don't take it with you on the interview. Let that be one of those 7 touches later to follow up with an email. All of those touches, all of those points, even just sending them a note saying, hey, I saw this article and thought of you. Those 7 times, you want that person to remember you and remember you, you know, through those interactions, and then you become top of mind. So to your point, you know, 60 times to remember it as an advertisement, and it's the same premise. You want to market yourself, and that sounds so bad. People, you know, cringe when I say that, but you do. You have to market yourself. You have to be present, and as I said earlier, you have to be consistently visible. That doesn't have to be uncomfortable. Is my point. You know, you can do lots of things to stay in front of someone and to continue those touch points, as I say, stay on their radar. And that really helps to solidify who you are and what you're looking for, even if you're not positive of the specifics. You know, the generalities eventually work their way down if you just do this enough. The right job will come to you. It's just a question of being available and put yourself out there where it can come to you.
That's great. Do you, you know, one thing you stood that said that stood out to me is, or what it made me think of is so many of the people I've interviewed for the show share a consistency in discomfort in the interview process, speaking about their accomplishments, discomfort even, I can imagine most veterans being uncomfortable at the thought of being at a barbecue and having that 10-second story ready, or putting yourself out there in that way, or marketing yourself. My experience has been that most veterans are soft-spoken about their accomplishments. They're humble. There is a very strong culture against selling yourself or marketing yourself. And I'm just curious if you've had any thoughts of how a veteran can view that differently or shift their thinking on that differently to be okay marketing themselves?
I think it's important to have some informational interviews with people. And the more you talk to folks who are in different industries, the more you start hearing buzzwords and the more you start saying, wait a minute, that's what I did when I served. That sounds familiar. Oh, that software sounds like this proprietary military, this Army software that I used. The more you talk to people in the industry, and don't let that feel uncomfortable. It's not about going out there and saying, hey, I'm looking for a job. Do you have one? It's more about saying, I'm interested in doing some research. And I know I'm going to be getting out soon, or I'm just recently out. I'm trying to figure out sort of where I would best plug in. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you do, a little bit more about your company? A little bit more about, you know, project management, or a little bit more about, change management, whatever it is, and have those conversations just over a cup of coffee. And don't even say the word job. It takes the pressure off of you too, as you know, a job seeker. Don't bring that up. You just say, hey, you know what? I'm interested in doing some research because I know I'm in a transition, and I want to think about what that might look like. And that's an easier conversation for someone to accept having, and it's easier for you as a veteran to say, yes, this is all I'm asking. I just want your time and your advice and your expertise. One thing I recommend to folks, too, is go find folks who have your similar, you know, MOS or who had a similar AFSC or worked in a similar role in senior leadership. And if you find those folks, especially on LinkedIn, and you see what they're doing now, what was their career path when they got out? You know, did they move through different organizations and then end up right where they wanted to be? There's a lot to be learned from that. There's a lot to be learned from just you sort of tracking other people that have been on your journey before you and then asking them questions. So I think, you know, too, in narrowing things down when they're actually speaking and trying to promote themselves, I really encourage folks, especially on a resume, to avoid things like adaptable, team player, you know, operational excellence or leadership. Those are things that most everybody can put on their resume in some way, shape, or form. I would love to see veterans really lean into things like, well, I have contract negotiations or budget development or, you know, compliance oversight, things like that. You know, everybody's baby is cute. So everybody can say they're a team player, right? Good in communicating. But if they can say, no, these are the really unique things that I have, that gives them confidence and it helps them talk about themselves a little more clearly, because then people can say, well, you said budget development. Tell me a little bit more about that. That's an easier setup in an interview and it's much more comfortable for the interviewee. So I recommend that you really sort of drill down and get to those skills that not everybody brings. And that's kind of tough because everybody tells you when you get out, oh, you know, you have great leadership skills and teamwork skills. And we know that. But it's important to drill down to the things that are really unique about you. And that's tough to do, but those conversations can help, because as you're talking to people, that you'll pull that out and be able to make some notes on it.
I think you have a gift for making these things very simple, and I love the analogies that you use. And one of the things I appreciate about what you're saying is I can imagine most veterans being both comfortable and really good at those coffee chats of, you know, tell me what you do, you have a same background, what advice do you have? Just making those one-to-one connections where it's just about learning, it's not about performing. And I almost view those as in like a exercise setting. It's like the reps. Those are just reps of getting comfortable, getting more information, having pressure-free practice, being able to explain what they're looking for, things like that. So I love that about what you're saying. And I think that this is it's a great approach for people to make this more actionable.
I will say too, in talking about themselves, there are a couple of things that veterans tend to have in their hip pockets that they forget about. Everybody knows that, you know, veterans are conscious of their health and safety standards, and everybody knows that they're good at teamwork, like I said, and leadership. But there are a couple of things that veterans are really good at that I think they might take for granted, that it's important for them to remember when they're interviewing and talking to folks. And one real quickly is that accelerated learning curve. I think I read this somewhere in a DOD article one time, and it just really hit home for me because I realized folks are forgetting these things. Veterans are used to learning on the fly and continually reading new books. You know, you always have reading lists. And it's always about how do I continue to study and learn and get up to speed on some new thing or get better at something. And a lot of civilians, once they get comfortable in a job, don't continue to do that. Some will go back and get their master's degrees, clearly, things like that. But you know, you set them in a job and they're like, I do this really well. And they keep doing it and they don't think about how they're going to, you know, well, what's the next thing? How can I go to class to learn something new? How can I read a book or read a manual and learn something new? That continuum of learning and that really accelerated learning curve that folks who have served in the military tend to have naturally, they forget. That's unique. That's really special for you guys. I think that's something that even employers need to recognize more. When you all say, hey, I can learn it, you're serious. You've done it before. So the accelerated learning curve is one. Also, the understanding that veterans bring about diversity and inclusion. Diversity and inclusion is such a buzzword right now out in the marketplace. And I think importantly so, but veterans have a very unique understanding of that. People who have served in the military have a up close and personal experience with diversity and inclusion and how you find the best in your team and how you put everybody in the right seat on the bus and how you, you know, you really bring people together and you develop your leaders. And I think that's really important. And then the last thing is technology. Veterans have a better understanding of technology and they're more keyed into globalization than I think a lot of civilians are. So it's important for people who have served when they're in an interview trying to sell themselves to remember that. Those are three things that I think everybody takes for granted, but boy, I tell you what, employers need to hear it sometimes. They need to be reminded there are a few extra things besides leadership and teamwork and, you know, triumph over adversity and things like that.
I think that's great. Those are three things that now that you say them, they make sense, but I don't think I could have picked them out of a crowd as a starting point, but I think you're absolutely right. I think that most veterans, we take that for granted. And I do think that those are three very common attributes that are highly desirable in the marketplace, but it might not be understood by the employer or even the veteran themselves that those are skills that most veterans have. One thing I wanted to ask about is kind of two different things with Patriot's Path. First of all, if a listener is interested in getting involved with Patriot's Path, what does that look like? Like, what are next steps that you would recommend? And then the other side of that, if someone is listening and they really are excited about your mission and they're excited about the work you're doing, how could they support you in taking this further?
If they're interested in learning more about Patriot's Path, our website sort of lays out a good roadmap to sort of how our program runs, our 20 hours. We tend to offer the course in, you know, 5 half-day segments. And we'll do that either over the course of a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 1 each day, or we'll do the 20 hours spread out over 2 weeks to give people time to go network or meet with their mentors that we assign them. If they're interested in applying and taking the course, I would say just visit the website, take a look at the different dates and locations that we have, and get signed up. If they have any questions, they can absolutely call us, and we're happy to kind of one-on-one have a quick conversation and get them, you know, get them more familiar with what we do and maybe take a look at their resume. Whatever we can do to help sort of get them started and ease the process is good. Another way to get involved is to volunteer. So if there's anybody out there that says, hey, you know, I've already made this transition, but I'm working in talent acquisition now, I'd love to sit down and be a resume coach or be a mock interview coach. Those are ways that we've engaged the community, even if they haven't served. In fact, it's better if they haven't. But volunteering is huge for our organization, even as a peer-to-peer mentor, if you have served. And in terms of just supporting the organization, you know, do volunteer. Do come on board and say, hey, I'm here. I'm here to do a resume review or a mock interview or job shadowing. And then the other thing is just as a nonprofit, you know, we have a lot of students that like to pay it forward. So they'll take the class. It's free to veterans and to military spouses. And we would love to think that those folks then turn around, as they often do, and say, you know what, that was worth a lot. And thanks for giving it to me for free in a time when I really needed it. So financial support is always appreciated too as a nonprofit. So paying it forward is important. I think a lot of our students do that. But always good to have additional input.
Awesome. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended. And that is, what have we not talked about that you want to make sure that listeners know?
I think, you know, a couple of things that they don't realize when they're getting out is how they work with recruiters. And that's a big part of what we talk about in our course. So I would just encourage folks to don't look to recruiters to find you a job necessarily. There are some great ones that work with military specific folks, and their goal is to sort of help you find a job. But for the most part, recruiters, whether they're internal recruiters to a company or whether they're external, you know, third party recruiter gun for hire kind of thing, recruiters, their job is to fill a position. So if you approach them and don't know and don't fit that particular role, then they're not as able to help you. So that's a misconception I see often. And recruiters can be really helpful, even if they're just the person that you take to coffee. They can't always sit down and do it. They don't always have that kind of time. But if you form some relationships with just a few, you know, higher end recruiters, I think that can be really, really helpful. The other thing is, once you do make the transition, once you are in a new role, do pay it forward. Do go back to some of those networking events where veterans, you know, come together and speak, because you can really bolster somebody else you can really say, I've been there and here's what it looked like for me. So go back to those networking events and join the groups in your organizations. If they have employee resource groups, make sure that you join those groups and that you self-identify. Those groups really help you stay engaged, and they keep you on the front end of a lot of conversations, and it can really be helpful to other veterans, but more helpful to you, so you have other people to understand where you are and what you're struggling with in this new civilian market. So just a couple of pointers to, you know, what do you need to do after the fact? And stay current and stay engaged and keep networking and don't ever stop.
This is great. Well, Noelle, I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I appreciate your taking the time to share this with the Beyond the Uniform audience. And for listeners, in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.io, I'll have links to everything we discussed. We'll have a text transcript of this interview, and you can learn more at patriots-path.org. That's patriots-path.org, and there'll be links to the site in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.